Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunam Samatichaitam
Sagunam Samatichaitam
Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. This level of Brahman or Aham Brahmasmi means that we thoroughly realize that we are not this body. And thus that we thoroughly realize that this physical phenomenal world has little relevance to our true existence. And that true existence is undisturbed and joyful in our relationship with Krishna. And nothing in this world can affect or disturb that relationship. That is the fully transcendental platform. That platform is the platform of Padamarama, of understanding that eternal devotional service to Krishna is the only reality. Not that this world is false, as the impersonalists would say. This world, rather, is, they say, Jagat Mitya, Brahma Satya. They say, this universe or this world is false, and only Brahman is real. No, the world is real. The pleasures and pains of this world are very real, and we experience them. And everyone gets a turn for either of them. Dukavat anivat sukham kalena sarvatra kavya ramasa. Happiness and distress come on their own accord in this world. But beyond it, our relationship with Krishna. And somehow or other, we know, but we don't invest enough. We never invest enough. 16 rounds is not enough. No, it's not enough. 32 is not enough. 64 is not enough. It's never enough. Prabhupada, in one lecture, is saying, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? He says, because what we can offer to Krishna has no limits. Our offering is always poor. Our offering is always less than what it should be. Yes, we can do more, everyone. Who can say he cannot do more, should not do more, doesn't want to offer more and better to the Supreme Lord? And who cannot say that in front of Krishna he feels inadequate, feels incomplete, feels that he has not done everything that Krishna deserves? It's not a matter of guilt. Maybe in the lower level it is a feeling of guilt, but in a more advanced level it is not a feeling of guilt, but it is a feeling of feeling insignificant and feeling simply small in front of Krishna and really desiring to offer more and to do better. In this way, the spiritual reality gradually becomes more and more significant. This movement is very powerful. There are many verses like that. For example, apichet sudracharo bhajate mamananyapak sarai vasantavya samyakvahasita isaha. Or the verse that describes when, even when a Vaishnava would deviate from the path and engage in sinful activities, that still he is saintly. This is difficult to understand. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on that verse, explains it is because the Vaishnava deep in his heart can never forget Krishna. And whenever he deviates from proper spiritual standards, then those deviations are beating on his heart. It beats on his heart. So, this is nice, Krishna consciousness. It cannot be extinguished. The other day, in Radhadesh, seated on a table with a number of Swamis and discussing, actually for quite a while, in detail, how the world is controlled by different demons who are very expert in controlling and manipulating in very subtle ways. But then, at the end, Prahlad Nanda Maharaj said, he said, but Prabhupada wrote me a letter, and in his letter he said that all the darkness in a room cannot extinguish the light of one match. It's burning in the dark. That I thought was really a beautiful statement, that how our little bit of devotional service in an ocean of Kali Yuga, right, cannot be extinguished. It cannot be touched. It cannot be changed. Our own little spiritual world, our own little devotional life, nothing to write a great book about, nothing in comparison, nothing in comparison to great acharyas, nothing like that, but that little thing, relationship between us and Krishna, that little world we have with Krishna, that is that match that is burning in the darkness of this world. And no darkness can ever cover the flame. It's not possible. One little light can light up all the darkness in the room. One match. So, one person performing devotional service can light up the whole world. So, in this way, devotional service is very, very nice. It is something that no one can take away, or nothing can take away. It is something that will stay. And that is just wonderful. It's something we can build on. It is the only thing we are sure about. What else is sure? Nothing. But that is sure. That is one thing, at least one thing, that is sure and positive. And it gives hope. It gives pleasure. It gives us encouragement. It gives us determination, because we know that this is only increasing, only getting better. Of course, we must avoid offenses. I was speaking with devotees this morning before leaving in my room, a few last words, and we were speaking about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who wrote an essay called The Ethics of the Bhagavat. And in that essay, The Ethics of the Bhagavat, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is explaining that how to read. And he's saying that reading should not merely be that we are becoming a repository of facts, that we just store so much information and try and keep it in our memory and just store it there. And he said, imprison it like a magistrate locks up some criminal. That's not knowledge. True knowledge must be creative, and that we actually take this learning and that we become creative and understand how in our own life it applies. That is reading. We are discussing Bhagavad Gita. We are thinking about Bhagavad Gita and how it, what it means to us. Just before our lecture, I was telling how we were reading this Light of the Bhagavad. So we were talking about creative speaking, creative thinking. I said, yes, well, we have to be honest. We cannot be parents and simply repeat what we hear without testing it to reality. It has to make sense in reality. What's the point if you take Bhagavad Gita and just recite slope after slope, very nice, but we must test it in reality and for ourselves say, yes, it's right, I see it, and I see what I read, it's clear in front of me. Otherwise we live in two worlds, the world, the material reality, which is one, and some spiritual world. But it is all united. It is all spiritual. Prabhupada explains. Material does not exist. Krishna is all pervading. Krishna is everywhere. It is all Krishna, and it is all Krishna's energy, Krishna's arrangement, Krishna's plan, everywhere. So, like this. At one point, I was speaking about mystification, that sometimes we try to make it more beautiful, more Krishna conscious for ourselves. And sometimes we speak, sometimes we speak about devotees like that, we mystify everything. Devotees, they don't sleep, they rest. Devotees, they never go to a toilet, they take a bath. Even the devotees, they never get old or senile, they're always in samadhi. Okay? So I was a little in somewhat skeptical mood, and then I turned around and then I hit my toe really hard. And I realized, no, even when devotees get old and senile, they're still in samadhi. I realized, Krishna. So I left praying that I wouldn't make any further offenses today. So this is the one thing. And I was thinking, yes, the culture, India is a culture of mystification. Everything is mystical. There's a little kumkum on a tree, and before you know it, there's a story of, like, you know, of three yugas connected to that tree. It grows in 3 days, and there's three yugas of history with the tree, the land of mystery and the land of myth, which grows very fast everywhere. I remember in 1975, there was a movie in India called Santoshima. I saw it. And it was about some deity named Santoshima, who was, doing sort of the work of Superman, you know, whenever there was a ship about to sink, then there she was, you know, either some beam or saving people or pulling them out of a burning building, all those kind of things, you know, that Superman, Spider-Man and the likes are doing. So she is the Indian version of that. And She became immensely popular. Immensely. The only thing was that there was no such deity as Santushima. Didn't exist, actually. According to Shastra, there is no such deity. But after that movie, there were Santushima temples. that is just... Then... So I may say, but shouldn't we be a little more careful? That's the Western mind. But the Indian mind is different. By nature inclined to worship. Some may say, well, isn't that a little bit too sentimental? It may be a little bit too sentimental, but it is safe. It is safe if we glorify everyone as being greater than they are. Right? That is safe. So, let us beware of minimizing the Vaishnavas. I was reminded by Krishna. Even although it may be so, you know, but no Vaishnava is an ordinary person. No Vaishnava is not meditating on Krishna. Every Vaishnava, Krishna is deep within. Thus every Vaishnava is a great saintly person. That is there. So this spirit of worshipping is very nice. We must learn to worship. It is something if one doesn't grow up with this, then it is difficult to really worship nicely all the time. And still we must try to worship, to worship devotees, to worship Krishna. More worship. Like I was starting the lecture, we can never do enough. That is Krishna consciousness. But the tendency is to think, oh, if that was enough. We already did so much. We did one whole hour of kirtan. It's not enough. 24 hours of kirtan. It's not enough. It lasts for a little while, but it's not enough. It wears out quick. We have to do it again and again. Kirtanya Sadahari is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends. Always. Non-stop. It seems quite something. But I think that we should work on that to somehow or another come there to fill it in more. We should just fill in the blanks more in some way or other. That's the only... And that attempt, if we can make that attempt, that's Krishna consciousness. Then everything else falls away. Then even the big things of the material world become not so big. Then such things are secondary. So, I came now from Radhavish, where we had a nice festival, and the highlight was sannyas initiation of Yami Nandan Maharaj. So let me tell you a little bit about our Yami Nandan Maharaj. You should invite him to Sweden now, soon, because how can he say no now? It's very hard to say no when you're a new sannyasi, and every invitation you take it like sent by Krishna. After a while, it's not like that anymore. But in the beginning, keep it to this Krishna speaking. Now I must go. Yamananda Maharaj, he became involved in Krishna consciousness when he was 13 years old. And he immediately He met a devotee, and within days he was in the temple, although he didn't join because he's still at home with his parents. But he would show so much interest in Krishna consciousness that his parents were just like, getting very worried. So he had to go undercover and act as if he was going to parties and things while he was going to the temple. And that way he managed to continue. And when he was, very soon he started to chant 16 rounds and follow the principles. And then at age 15 he wanted to join, and it was up and down with his parents, who finally gave up at 16 and said, "All right, you should move in, do it then." And then, so I was thinking about that, so that's quite something. That's because 13 is when it all begins, if you know what I mean. Whatever that all is, if you know what I mean. And so, really, he just simply immediately turned to Krishna and stayed then always a brahmachari. His body is very short, his face is very jolly, always smiling nicely. So it was a great pleasure to be there. I was, Jai Dvaita Maharaj was giving the sannyas, and I was doing the fire yakya. So it was lots of fun. Balaram Maharaj was there, blessing the cloth, blessing the dandas, and so on. And of course, I started up the kirtan at the end, cooked it up, and then gave it to Radhanandan Maharaj to sort of put the salsa. He's from Spanish origin, so salsa means the sauce. So it was very, very nice. Because it's an ordinary, there are no ordinary, but a regular initiation is different. Because then we make an attempt to become very serious about Krishna consciousness. But this sannyas initiation is something like, here someone is getting ready to be the instrument of Krishna, of Lord Chaitanya, to so many people about pure devotional service by basically trying to be a pure devotee every moment himself. So this is very wonderful. It was a very auspicious moment, and such a step immediately brings tremendous power. Immediately one becomes transformed by just that commitment. That is the nature of any vow that we take for life. When we make commitment, we are immediately a different person. We're immediately empowered by that commitment. Even in the material world, if you're very serious about a commitment, it is immediately empowering. It's immediately what to speak of spiritual commitment, which is really empowering. And empowering us on a spiritual platform. He says that empowerment means it will empower us with chit and ananda shakti, or with the knowledge potency. As we are increasing our commitment to Krishna, Krishna will reveal himself. We will start to know Krishna more and more. That is the trick. You cannot just chant. You must increase the commitment. Of course, chanting is a commitment, but even there one must chant with commitment to know Krishna. Then Krishna will reveal himself. It's not automatic. It has everything to do with the commitment. Not just external, but also in the heart. So thus it was really, very, very nice. A big highlight, I must say. I was very happy that I could be there. Now, as a result, I cut off one day of my visit to Stockholm of Kuraito. So now my visit is a little short, but still we'll try to make it nice. So we'll try and do something to worship Lord Chaitanya, the worship of the Lord. Although Gorpanim happened already, it's over in a way, but in another way it's not at all over. It's, one can celebrate for so many days, doesn't really matter. Why stop? And why put a celebration in 24 hours? Why not more? We see that in India, even an ordinary marriage of the material world lasts 7 days. And that's just an ordinary, mundane marriage. That's 7 days. So we can celebrate corporately for much longer. No problem. So we are just warming up. So I guess everything we'll be doing the next few days is the continuation of the Gorpanim celebration. We had a similar experience in Onichananda Trayodasi. I was in Sydney at the time, Australia, and it was nice. We had a long kirtan, bhajan, sit down one. Then there was the evening arti, and then that was everyone was jumping around, and then there was an abhishek. So for the abhishek again, we had a sit down sort of kirtan. So if you added it all up, it was really a long kirtan. And then it was time for prasadam, but some devotees, they didn't want to take prasadam, didn't want to stop the kirtan. So okay, we just kept it, at least with a small group, we just went on and said, okay, then we make it very soft bhajan while the devotees are taking prasadam. So we did. But then at the end, just as the last sweets were sort of finishing up, then the kirtan again took off. And somehow or other, people got caught up and they just jumped up from their plates, which I think is very difficult to do after eating a big feast, but they did. And immediately they started to jump up and down, which I wouldn't recommend for digestion, but, it didn't seem to matter because they were on a transcendental plane and they all started to dancing like anything. And then, because the Sydney temple room is not that big, they had also the restaurants next door, and a lot of people were taking prasadam in the restaurant next door. So then all the people from the restaurant, they came looking in the temple what was going on, and when they saw it, they also joined dancing. and they just stayed. And then the kids came, and they also kept on dancing. Usually kids, they get restless, but the kids were dancing more than anybody else. And at that moment, what could we say? We could only remember Lord Nityananda. It was his appearance day. It was just like the descriptions that we find in Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Basically, where Lord Nityananda performs his kirtan, and whole villages just disappeared into the kirtan, and then relatives would come and see what. But what happened? My father, my uncle, they didn't come home now, and where are they? And then the relatives would also join the kirtan and just disappear. Everyone who came to that kirtan of Lord Nityananda just was absorbed by it, like a sponge absorbs water. So somehow or other the kirtan had the same effect. So we could see that Lord Nityananda was manifesting some energy into that kirtan, which gave it that special nature. That is how, in the same way, Gopaneem also can be celebrated, where we are just simply trying to glorify the Lord for a long, long time. So, one day, in one day, there is not a long, long time. So we just take a few days, then we have more time. That's the plan. So in this way, I hope to spend the next day in the mood of worshipping Lord Chaitanya, because without Lord Chaitanya, I don't know how it's going to work. Right? I don't know how it's going to work. How is it ever going to work for us? I don't know. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, anything is possible. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the spiritual world descends on this planet, and in that way we can enter completely on that plane, leaving all the material limitations behind. That's awesome. Late now, so I'll stop. Any one question, maybe, if there is. Yes.
Maharaj, there's this statement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that by remembering him, even despite the most difficult things become very easy, and by forgetting him, the most easy things become quite very difficult. And I never kind of understood.
Katanchana. Shrite. Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet. By remembering the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, difficult things become easy. Because by remembering the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we attract that mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Then, when he empowers us, everything is possible. It's that simple. But if you don't remember him, then you can be very qualified, but sooner or later you become perplexed in the material energy. Even the best sometimes gets perplexed in the material energies like that. Situations come about where even the most intelligent, most qualified, most powerful, most everything doesn't know what to do anymore. That's the nature of material energy. We are small jivas. Material energy is the reflection of Krishna's spiritual energy. So it's like unlimited almost. It will perplex us. But if one takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Chaitanya will protect us, empower us, help us, directly help us through the situation. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of Ajamya. He said Ajamya was the son of a very qualified Brahmin. He himself was well trained. And yet Ajamya, facing a sudra embracing a girl in the forest, became mentally so disturbed that he fell down. He said, and Prabhupada said, if he fell down, then what is our chance? And we are walking through the modern cities with all the greatest activities, and nothing happens. I mean, look, what Ajamila saw. Come on, if you can't handle that, you won't last for a day. Yeah. But how are we surviving? We should understand that Lord Chaitanya is there. Lord Chaitanya is personally blocking Maya from affecting us. He is personally protecting us. He's personally right there. That is the point. He's not just sending a ray of mercy. No, he's personally there. That is the amazing thing. Yeah. So in this way, it is a very personal thing. When the Lord protects, he's personally protecting us. He's personally helping us. That's how it is. Yes.
Whereas I was thinking about we cannot be parents. So that means you have to realize it, of course. You have to realize it, but it takes time and we may not realize it. So.
But we're realizing something from moment to moment. We may not fully realize, but we realize something because we think about it. We think about it. And that thinking is like a fermentation process, and Krishna consciousness matures in us. We see that devotees are many years in this movement, and they didn't do that much service, but they were there, they stayed. And still they become very mature, just because they think about it, and things are maturing in them, just by thinking about it. So it matures.
Actually, I have the question that should one preach only realized knowledge or whatever just one hears from the lecture?
No, both. We should also preach Gita. I mean, parrot is better than nothing. I mean, Prabhupada also, Prabhupada also gives the example that about the coconut. If a father tells his son, this is a coconut, although he may not know anything about, or very much about coconuts, and his father is expert, still the son has heard from the bona fide source. So what he repeats has authority. It is correct, it is a coconut. Yes, because he heard it from his father who knows, who's expert. Yeah. So in this way, we can repeat what we hear from the bona fide source. But of course, if we hear from an expert, yes, then there are so many additional details, and it becomes much more realistic. If I look something up in an encyclopedia and I reproduce it, that's one thing. But if I have actually direct experience of knowledge, then I can give more. So we must apply this Krishna consciousness. Whatever we read, we must try to apply it in our life. Then immediately realization will come. One who engages in full devotional service. Well, full devotional service. That's all that. Full devotional service. You can have a 3-hour talk, discussion. What is full devotional service? Where does it begin and where does it end? Big discussion. Unfailing in all circumstances. Unfailing. It feels like we move from mistake to mistake in spiritual life. Yeah, it seems like that. Okay, such a person at once transcends the material nature and this comes to the level of Brahma. What does this verse mean? Does it set a very, very high standard which is almost impossible to achieve? Or does it mean something else? What does it mean? We can read the purport, we can hear, we can discuss it, then we can try to live up to it. And if we do that for some time, then we'll have realization. Then we'll have so much realization. Just by trying a little bit, we already get so much realization. Okay, Bhagavad Gita, the very last one, then I'm going to chant Hare Krishna.
I help to realize Brahman, because this is something so structural that I cannot imagine.
Okay.
This is really something like I'm in study. We have like a lot of, we hear about this lot of about lecturers, we read about in the literature about this, but I cannot imagine what is this yet.
Well, at least we understand it philosophically that everything is the spiritual energy of Krishna. And thus, and for us it means Aham Brahmasmi, that we are spirit soul. So just let's meditate on that. I am a spirit soul and this body is just a vehicle. Let's meditate like that. That's enough. And everything is Krishna's energy. I am a spirit soul. And I'm just in this body somehow. Strange. What am I doing here? I don't know. No idea. And this body dictates so many things. Eat now. Wrong time. For me, not for you. Like that. So we have to judge with intelligence. We're in the body now. We're relating from the platform of Brahman. That means from the spiritual platform. I will now only follow what the body is dictating me to do if it is not against spiritual advancement. Otherwise, I will not do it. That is acting from the platform of Brahman. Acting from the platform, I am a spirit soul. I'm not going to allow this body, with all its pushings, to interfere with the benefit of the soul. Eternal spiritual advancement. No way. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote about this in an article called Real and Apparent. And he makes that statement. He speaks to his body. And he says to the body, I will no longer listen to you. I will no longer do what you say. I will only follow those things which are favorable for the eternal spiritual advancement of the soul. Like that. That's Brahma. Realization. Act for the soul. Now I have to stop because I have 6 rounds left, actually. I met 2 nice people on the way. As I was traveling, and they talked for a lot. Green chain.